Good morning. Good morning. And welcome to worship in First Doma. You have a different change of preacher this morning, as Audrey Hodge, unfortunately, is unwell and can't be with us this morning. But she has given me great instruction and her notes to follow, so I will try my best to do so, but do bear with me, as obviously it's Audrey's wonderful thoughts and meticulous ideas, so I will try to do her justice, but she will keep us right even in our absence today. Our service this morning will begin by thinking about question 98 with the Shorter Catechism, when it asks the question, what is prayer? And prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to his will, in the name of Christ, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. And so with that in mind, let us now come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have made us in your image and surrounded us continually with all good things. Forgive us for the times when we have not been grateful, when we have thought that we can manage without you, only to find that we are so often lost in this world and in need of your guidance. We have often been anxious and troubled and not acted as we should. Clear our hearts from anything which is obstructing our acceptance of you. Clear all unrighteous thoughts from us and create in us a clean heart. Accept our thanks and praise as we come to worship you today, that above all you may be glorified and we may be re-energized to serve you. We ask this, our prayer, in Jesus' name. Amen. We begin our worship this morning with our first song of praise, hymn number 301, Tell Out My Soul, the Greatness of the Lord.
Thank you.
Old Testament reading this morning is 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 11 to 16. And Dorothy Simpson will come now and share with us.
God appears to Solomon again. After King Solomon had finished the temple and the palace, successfully completing all his plans for them, the Lord appeared to him at night. He said to him, "I have heard your prayer, and I accept this temple as the place where sacrifices are to be offered to me. Whenever I hold back the rain or send locusts to eat up the crops or send an epidemic on my people, if they pray to me and repent and turn away from the evil they have been doing, then I will hear them in heaven, forgive their sins, and make their land prosperous again. I will watch over this temple and be ready to hear all the prayers that are offered here, because I have chosen it and consecrated it as the place where I will be worshipped forever. I will watch over it and protect it for all time."
Thank you, Dorothy. If any children in the congregation would like to come to the front, and I will meet you there. Hello. Great to have you here this morning. Great. Come on ahead. Great. Well done, Archie. Jump up there. Wonderful. Okay, so this morning I need your help. And we're going to think about some pictures on our screen. Hopefully, if we can get those. Okay. Hopefully. Yes. Great. Okay. So, today we're going to think about some pictures, as I say, and I need your help to guess what these all are. Now, there's a really good clue because it actually tells you right beside them, probably in most of these slides, what they are, okay? But we need to just, we'll go through them anyway. So, what's this? Can I reread that? A scroll and a quill, okay? So what would you use that for? Writing a message, that's right. Okay, the next picture, please. What's this? A telegram, okay. And can anybody tell me if they know what a telegram is? Yeah. Pardon? Yes, well, it's another way of sending a message to somebody. And a telegram was a written message which was carried across electric lines, electric wires, and they were used before our next picture was invented. Oh, no, sorry, got the wrong order. Apologies. Okay, pen and paper. The pen and paper is another way of communicating. And then the next picture is the one that I was talking about. That, what's that? A telephone. And that is an early telephone. So that's one of the earliest telephones. And that phone, a first phone, was invented by Alexander Graham Bell in 1876. Okay, so that was a few years ago. So that is our first phone. And then, our next picture, please. Maybe do we have phones like this in our house that remind us of the phone we have? I know my mum and dad has that phone exactly, same one. And so this is another way of receiving messages and phone calls. If we go to the next please slide. How about a mobile phone? Yeah. Everybody has mobile phones these days. And maybe you even have an iPad, which has lots of different apps and various things that you can send messages to others as well. And move on to the next slide, please. And so all those ways are ways in which we can communicate with other people. But this morning, we are thinking about prayer. We're thinking about how we can talk to God. And God wants us to talk to him, and he wants us to pray to him. Because we all matter to him, and he wants us to share how we're feeling with him, all our thoughts and all our worries, because he loves us and will always be there for us. So when you pray, you get to know God like a friend. Just like one of your friends, you tell him how you feel, tell her how you feel, and you share all those things, all those worries and all those things you want to say thank you to God for. And no matter when you pray, unlike these other things that we have talked about at the start, sometimes don't always work very well. The phone, sometimes the battery needs charged, or maybe the message doesn't get sent. But with God, he is always there. And he always listens, and we can talk to him every hour of the day because he never leaves us. And no matter where we are, God is always with us. So today, I want you to remember that, we are to talk to God through prayer, and he wants us to read his word, the Bible, and learn more about him and grow in our knowledge of him today. So we're going to pray, and then we will move on to the next thing. So let's pray. Dear God, we thank you that we can talk to you every day, wherever we may be. Thank you for your word, the Bible, so we can learn more about God's word and we can grow to become more like you each day. Amen. Amen. Well done. Okay, so this morning we are thinking about birthdays. Again, it's hard to believe we're in another birthday month. And what month are we in today? Can anybody tell me? Yes?
December.
Mm-hmm. Scarily, it's December already. Not too many days away till Christmas and the busyness of what all that brings. But today we are going to celebrate and thank God for the people who have birthdays in December. Now, does any of you guys have a birthday in December? No? Okay. And anybody in the congregation have a birthday in December? Oh, does your mummy do? Does that? Yes, okay. We've got a few hands there. Great, okay. Lovely. Well, birthday box, well, we will work it the same way as we normally do in the last few weeks. We will. You can receive your gift after the service in the vestibule at the end. So please do remember to stop for your birthday gift. Great. So now we're going to sing your song. And we're going to sing a song all about talking to God above. And we'll hear more about talking to God in prayer. And then it's time to go out to Tots, Jigsaw and Blast. I take this time to draw your attention to a number of our community notices, which you will find on our announcement sheet this morning, but just to draw your attention to a few. Our Coffee Stop Christmas special is this coming Wednesday in the Rowan Hall from 10:30, and Oma County Primary will be coming to join us and sing carols. And so there'll be lots of festive treats for all. So please do come along this Wednesday at 10:30 to Coffee Stop Christmas Special. Messy Church is on the 7th of December, and it's our special Messy Christmas themed. And so that will be happening on the 7th of December between 4 and 6pm in the Rowan Hall. And that is an invitation to all families to come along, all ages to come along and enjoy crafts activities, prayer, and then we'll join together with a meal, a tea, a short, small tea at the end of the evening together. So please do, if you know of any families of children, please do share the word about that happening this coming Saturday. The other next week, we are having a quiz. And that will be from, Reflection on Loss Service on the 8th of December. And that is for a personal invitation to all who feel a sense of loss at this Christmas time. So please do come along next Sunday, the 8th of December at 4 p.m. The next one, David, put it on the screen, then I don't get it wrong. The Christmas quiz in the Rowan Hall. On Friday the 13th of December at 8 p.m, which you're welcome to come along for a night for all the family again, and all donations on the night will go to support the funds towards Tear Fund. And I think last but not least is the Youth Social. That's right, I've got that one right at least. And so the social will be happening on Saturday the 14th of December, between 8:30 and 11:00. And all young people in secondary school, year 8 plus, and their friends are welcome to come along to that. It'll be a night of games and songs, and someone's coming along to lead that social. So just commend that to your prayers as well, as all these events happen on the run-up to our season of Christmas. And so now we come to our prayers for others. Let us pray. Faithful God, as we enter the season of Advent, we thank you for the example of Simeon and Anna, and for their faithful service and witness, for their patient waiting for Christ to be revealed. Help us to serve you faithfully and patiently, watching for you to be revealed in our own lives. And Lord God, we pray for all who work for peace and unity, and for all world leaders, that they will continue to seek for an end to the suffering caused by war and violence, injustice, inequality, disease, prejudice, poverty and hopelessness, and bring healing to your world. We pray especially for those fighting terrorism in Syria, and also after the recent terrorist attack in London. We continue to pray for those who are refugees and seek safety in another country, despite the dangers of the journey. And Lord, we pray for our own country and its peoples, for our Queen and all who hold authority and power, that through Christ's love and mercy, all may strive in seeking what is best for all our citizens, regardless of origin or status. We pray for those engaged in the upcoming elections, that truth would be heard and all would seek the common good. Father God, we pray for the church worldwide and for our own congregation of First Oma. We particularly pray for our minister Jane and for Audrey, our clerk of session. But as we know, there are so many who contribute to the life and witness of your church here. And we'd ask you, Lord, to help us all to appreciate the roles of each other, so that each of us would make use of our individual talents, enabling each church group to flourish as a witness to the one body of the church. Help us all to spread the warmth of your love to everyone we meet, and help us as we seek to promote outreach into the community and maintain our life of worship and service. Gracious God, we pray for the work and service of all our care homes, especially thinking of Harold Macaulay House today and all day centres for elderly and those who are ill. We pray for all those carers and all who look after family and friends in their own home. And we thank you for the many charity organisations who raise much needed funds, which provide supportive services to help. We pray today for all who are finding their lives painful, lonely, or uncertain. especially praying for those who are ill or vulnerable. Help them to sense your comfort in times of need and bless their families and carers. We pray for all those who are struggling in their lives. Bring them a sense of your hope, of an end to their sufferings and a resolution of their difficulties. Heavenly Father, we pray for ourselves. As we go from this church today to start the week ahead, we ask that in all we do, we may walk more closely with you at our side, safe in the knowledge that your fatherly love and care knows no bounds. We bring these prayers to you through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who taught his followers as a family to say together, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We sing our next song of praise to God as we sing hymn number 103, Father, hear the prayer we offer. Our New Testament reading this morning is from Colossians chapter 4 and will be verses 1 to 18. It can be found on page 254 in the Pew Bibles, but the version today that I will be reading from is from the NIV. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. And let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Tychius will tell you all the news about me. He's a dear brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus is called Justus, and he also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas sends greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters of Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, that you in turn read this letter from Laodicea. Tell Aristarchus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Amen. If we had only 3 sentences to convey our life after we have gone, what would they be? Today we will take a few minutes to study Epaphras, one who enters the scene for a mere second and then is gone. He's mentioned in only 3 sentences in the Bible, a bit like an extra in a film. You hardly notice them, but they're there for a reason and add to the story. And have no doubt, in the Bible, no one is mentioned without there being a good reason for their inclusion. And so it is with Epaphras. He's a man with an important message for all of us. And Epaphras was most likely a founder of the Christian church in Colossae, the church of which he was a native. And he was also an evangelist in nearby Laodicea and Hierapolis. And these towns are in modern Turkey and within a few miles radius of Colossae, where the church consisted of a wide variety of people. There were slaves and free Jews, Greeks and barbarians, Scythians, men and women, parents and children, employers and employees, the respected and the despised. It's likely that he was the one who had told Paul in Rome about the Colossian church problems, as this relatively new church was threatened by the danger of false doctrine. And this had prompted Paul to write this letter to the Colossians. Now, the name Epaphras is not one in which we would be familiar with, but it can mean loving or charming. And it's probably the shortened form of Epaphroditus from the Greek Aphrodite, and suggests to us that he was a convert from paganism. He was probably brought to faith by Paul's preaching in Ephesus and went on to establish his church in his home area. But he would eventually become Paul's fellow prisoner, as we read in Philemon chapter 23. Philemon was a wealthy member of the Colossae church himself. So what can we learn from this man, Epaphras? We can learn today that Epaphras was a man of priority. Epaphras was a man who had his priorities in the correct order. He was first and foremost a servant of Christ Jesus, and he considered himself a slave for Jesus and had given himself up to the will of God, whom he regarded as his Lord and Master. That Paul called him a servant is indicative of the fact that he regarded him highly for such a title, and only that was used to describe the most devoted believers, and only a title Paul conferred on Timothy and Epaphras. So Epaphras was a man who served Jesus and accepted that Christ came first in his life. And his greatest desire was to do God's will. And if God told him to visit Paul, he would do just that. His heart was in tune with the eye of his master. And he did not compartmentalise Jesus to an hour on Sunday morning, but not during holidays. He let Jesus consume his whole life. Epaphras was a faithful and effective witness for the faith. And if we are to be the same, we need, like Epaphras, to speak from first-hand knowledge. Faith needs to be seen in our lives. We need to have a note of authority about our witness. No hesitation or doubt. I know whom I have believed, from the verse in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12. And we need to have a certain boldness and courage, which will be given to us by the Holy Spirit, who will give to us the courage to speak about our faith. But we must look again at the timid and shy Timothy. We all may need a bit of prodding. So what is this man of priority saying to us today? He's saying that God is looking for people who will let him be their priority. He's looking for people who allow his preeminence to become their mission. God is looking for people like Epaphras. And so we further learn that Epaphras was a man of passion and zeal and a really hard worker. He had worked hard for the Colossians, the Laodiceans, and the Hierapolisians. Such responsibilities made demands on him spiritually, intellectually, and physically. But he had a real favour about him, especially for this region. We may recall that Jesus described the Laodiceans as lukewarm, but that didn't start with Epaphras. Epaphras was strong and a man on fire for his faith. Epaphras really cared that people heard the gospel. So he was a passionate man, but not merely in an emotional way. He had a zeal for God's people. He studied diligently, and this is a clear message for us. Our need to be equipped by our own study of God's word. Real study, passionately seeking to be nourished by it. We need to know the scriptures in depth and fullness, and this is never a completed task. How to study the Bible with both our hearts and our minds. The need for biblical literacy, which stitches patchwork knowledge into a seamless garment of understanding. Are we consistently faithful in reading God's word and in prayer and upholding the true gospel doctrine? And because we do not know our Bibles, sometimes we crumble at the most basic challenge to our worldview. And indeed, most of the moral chaos and confusion and corruption in the present day is traceable to the fact that no stand is taken for what is right and righteous. So Epaphras' example is one worth following. He said all the good things about the church members in Colossae and kept silent about their shortcomings. Dr. Herbert Locker, in his chapter, The Bitterness of Criticism, reminds us that if we are guilty of dragging the failure of a church, preacher, or Christian before the world, it is to act as a traitor in the camp. And if Epaphras was a small group leader, he lovingly pursued everyone in that group. If Epaphras was a children's ministry leader, he arrived early and served each family well. There was nothing half-hearted about him. So what is this man of passion and zeal saying to us today? He's saying that God is looking for people who will bring passion and energy into their work for him. He's looking for people who have concern for the millions of people who have never heard the gospel, who have a missionary vision, God is looking for those who will diligently serve him with their lives. God is looking for people like Epaphras. And we further learn now, as our slide tells us, that Epaphras was a man of prayer. And for all his other qualities, this was his most notable quality. Paul said that his work ethic and passion had invaded his prayer life. For he was, as we read in verse 12, always wrestling in prayer for you. And the Colossians were ever present in his prayer life. He toiled over them before God, and he wanted them to excel, so that he cried to God for their spiritual success. But miles away from them, he prayed with Paul for them. And Paul remarked just how diligent Epaphras was in prayer. Paul uses the word wrestling in prayer to indicate just how passionate were these prayers. So what can we learn about Epaphras and prayer? We learn that he prayed constantly. Back to verse 12 in Colossians, we see the word always. And he was a good example of Paul's call, often made to continue in prayer. Epaphras didn't pray only when he felt like it, like many of us do today. Nor did he pray when he was told to pray, or when he others believers prayed as well. Epaphras was constant in prayer, seeking God's blessing. And I can imagine him walking along those dusty roads, praying as he walked. And Epaphras' prayers were not like a room service request, but were vital to his life and witness, just as breathing is. I have no doubt that he didn't give up when God didn't seem to be answering his prayers. This outline has been suggested to keep us going in prayer. If the request is wrong, God says no. If the timing is wrong, God says slow. If you are wrong, God says grow. But if the request is right, the timing is right, and you are right, God says go. There is no such thing as unanswered prayer. And so we further learn that Epaphras prayed fervently. Epaphras was wrestling in prayer for them. The word used here means agonizing. It's the same word used for when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we get the impression that prayer was a serious business to Epaphras. This Greek word was used to describe the athletes as they gave themselves fully to their sports. And if church members today, all of us the same, put as much concern and enthusiasm into praying as we do with our hobbies, whether it be football or bowling or rugby, well, we would have a revival. Prayer is a form of surrender to the will of God and cooperation with his will. If I throw out from a boat a hook and catch hold of the shore and pull, do I pull the shore to me, or do I pull myself to the shore? Prayer is not putting God to my will, but the aligning of my will to the will of God. God has great riches for us, and so often we haven't even asked for them. There was a story told of one being shown around heaven, and there was a room full of gifts which had not been requested, but which would have been given. Ask and you shall receive, comes to mind. And so we learn next that Epaphras prayed personally. Epaphras prayed always wrestling in prayer for you, i.e. the people in Colossae. Epaphras did not pray around the world for everyone in general, and no one in particular. He interceded for the faithful in Colossae, in Laodicea, and Hierapolis. And Epaphras, no doubt, mentioned some of them by name. He didn't just wait until people were in a fix. Prayer for him was not an impersonal religious exercise, for he carried these people in his heart and prayed for them personally. The unstated fact that here, of course, he knew their needs. Do we? How well informed are our prayers? We have a prayer chain here, and maybe something that you can further link into, and how you can maybe contribute to getting involved to that, whether sending requests or praying for other people too. But remember also that we need to look up to God and thank him for what we have, not just a shopping list of requests, which sometimes can feel like when we're praying to God each day. But in a published poem of the hymn writer Fanny Crosby was discovered. And in the first verse, she writes these words: God does not give all I ask, nor answer as I pray. But oh, my cup is brimming o'er with blessings day by day. And so we further learn Epaphras prayed definitely and specifically. If you had asked Epaphras, what are you praying for? He could have told you. His great desire was that the believers in the three assemblies might mature in their Christian faith. Paul used four significant words to summarize the prayer of Epaphras, and these words also summarize the message of the book of Colossians. These words are perfect, complete, all, and will. Epaphras was concerned that these Christians know and do the will of God, but he wanted them to be fully involved. He also wanted them to stand perfect and complete in God's will. And only in Christ does the fullness of God dwell. And this request carries the thought of being mature and perfectly assured in the will of God. It is not necessary for the believer to drift in life. As any believer learns God's will and lives it, they will mature in the faith and experience the fullness of God's blessings. And so we further learn that Epaphras prayed sacrificially and with zeal. In verse 13 in Colossians, we read that he is working hard for you. Real prayer is difficult. And when Jesus prayed in Gethsemane, he sweat great drops of blood. And Paul had great agony as he prayed for the early church. And Epaphras also suffered such distress. Now, this doesn't mean that we wrestle with God to get him to answer, but rather it means that we must throw ourselves into praying with zeal and concern. If we are not burdened and earnest, there can be no blessing. These words are rephrased words of John H. Jowett. And he says, praying that costs nothing accomplishes nothing. Depth is more important than length. So Epaphras is the only one commended by Paul for his prayer ministry. Others, of course, prayed, but his was particularly powerful and constant, even when imprisoned with Paul. And it's impressive that Epaphras prayed for believers in the three cities. We are fortunate today for people to pray for even their own minister and leaders. And perhaps one reason that revival tarries is that we do not pray fervently enough for one another. So what do we learn from this man of prayer? God is looking for people who will adopt someone, some cause, some people who will struggle for them in prayer. And God is looking for people who are willing to bring the burdens of others before him. And we don't always know when and how our prayers for others are appreciated and needed. There's another poem written by Marianne Farningham, and it's entitled Pray for One Another, and it reflects on just this. It says, I cannot tell why there should come to me a thought of someone miles and miles away, in swift insistence on the memory, unless there is a need that I should pray. Friends, do the same for me. If I, unsought, intrude upon you on some crowded day, give me a moment's pray, in passing thought. Be very sure I need it, therefore pray. God is looking for people like Epaphras. And we began by thinking about the three sentences which would convey our life. What would people say about us? Is God first in our lives? Do we fit him around everything else and just have a small part there for God to just fit in just about on a Sunday morning? What does this say to us and to the world around us about our own priorities? Are we passionate in our love for God, for his church, for his people? If we who claim the name of Christ are not passionate for the gospel, how will others ever come to faith? Faith in action is essential. So what is our part in this? Are we people who will be constant in prayer? Will we commit to praying fervently? Will we pray personally? Will we be informed and specific in our prayers? Will we pray with real zeal, expecting God to answer? May our legacy be that we understand the grace of God and work passionately for others to understand it too. May we be people on our knees, like Epaphras, wrestling in prayer for the faith life of our brothers and sisters. I'd just like to close with these words from Graham Kendrick and Chris Robinson, and so I will use it as a closing prayer. All heaven waits with bated breath for saints on earth to pray. Awake, O church, arise and pray, complaining words discard. Come blend your prayers with Jesus' own before the Father's throne. But God awaits our prayer of faith that cries, your will be done. Amen. Your offerings to God will now be received. All good gifts come from you, O Lord, and from these riches we bring this offering today. Help us to use it for the furtherance of your purpose in this place and for the benefit of those in need. Amen. We bring our service to a close by singing our closing hymn, hymn number 257, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. May grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us all today and forevermore. Amen.